Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering today's show, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, April 12th, a lovely day. Again, it rained this morning. Highly unusual back-to-back days with rain in April. April and May usually are driest. Well, June, too, can be kind of dry, but it's so good. That air smells so fresh out there this morning. Buckmaster Show Live line is open at 790-2040 for your calls, questions, and comments, and we invite you to become a friend of our show on our Facebook page. In addition, we do Twitter at Buckmaster Show. We'll begin with a conversation with Leah Marquez-Peterson. Leah heads up the Tucson Chamber of Commerce. Good to see you, Leah.
Oh, good to see you too, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Don't you enjoy this lovely weather?
Wonderful. Carried my umbrella around with me this morning.
It's so nice to have rain in April. 20 minutes past the hour, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman will be with us with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley is still in Europe. He is not available for a live call, but we have a segment that I think that is worth hearing again. At the bottom of the hour, Dr. Robert Hendricks, the one-time makes it sound like he had his one big shot, but he is a former Arizona School Superintendent of the Year, and he's our education contributor. We're going to go over the pros and cons of Prop 123. Then we close out the hour, very full hour as usual, the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Tucson Weekly Arts writer Margaret Regan will be joining us. Leah, good to see you.
Thank you.
The Tucson Hispanic Chamber continues to grow. I think you were mentioning before we went on the air about 1,400 members?
Actually, 1,800 members.
Oh, excuse me, 1,800
right.
Members. And people hear Hispanic Chamber and they think that all of the membership are Hispanic people.
Right, and you do not have to be Hispanic or speak Spanish. Really, the thing to remember about our chamber is it's about $40 billion, and that's the purchasing power of the Hispanic community in the state of Arizona, which by the year 2030 will be the majority. So we talk to businesses from all industries, all sizes, throughout the state here and in Sonora also about reaching the fast-growing Hispanic market and trade with Mexico, as well as our advocacy voice.
And Anglo people, and really any people, are welcome.
Anybody can come, yeah.
I mean, in your population, your members, about 70% Hispanic.
Right, yeah. About 70% Hispanic-owned or managed businesses. But all of our events are open to the public. If people just want to come and check it out, see what we're about, they're welcome to find that on our website.
You know, I was mentioning in that open Proposition 123, have you taken a stand on that one?
We have. You know, early on, we followed this closely. We have a very active advocacy committee in the chamber, and we in support of Prop 123 and actually have someone coming in to speak about that at our upcoming State of Hispanic Education Luncheon on Thursday.
That will go over, I guess you'll be talking, as you say, about Prop 123, but really this is billed as kind of a state of Hispanic education and looking at hopefully some progress that has been made in areas like the dropout rate.
It is. We've had this luncheon, the State of Hispanic Education, for about 5 years. We've brought in the U of A, Pima, school districts, and so on in the past. This year, we're looking at A for Arizona, which is an effort that we lead, an education initiative with the Arizona Chamber Foundation. It's looking at low-income areas throughout our state that have A-rated schools, A in terms of the rating that the state provides, and looking at how we can replicate those schools, grow them, grow C and B schools up to those A levels. And we're also going to be reviewing the most recent report, the Arizona Minority Education Report, and they'll be presenting that and showing the latest figures. So we're coming along. I think we're coming a long way. We certainly, as a chamber, track Hispanic graduation rate from college, completion of high school. We look at retention programs, scholarship programs, and so on. So it's a great event for us, and we probably have 150 to 200 people attending on Thursday.
So are we making some progress in keeping kids in school?
We are. You know, you've seen some great efforts locally by TUSD Superintendent H.D. Sanchez, Mayor Rothschild, and others.
They actually went door to door. Well, they do
they
that.
Did,
they've been going, I think, a couple of years now. They actually go door to door.
And they've had great success. I think the mayor even said in his State of the City address, he gave some numbers. But we're looking at the lowest income areas throughout the state. And you'd be surprised to know that a majority of those schools that are A-rated are in southern Arizona, that are in these low-income areas. We've hired Lisa Graham Keegan as our executive director, one of our past Arizona public school superintendents. And she's leading this effort around the state, talking about leadership and what it takes to grow these schools, whatever they are, charter, public, and so on, and teaching them about education initiatives and how what we can do to help them.
I know that there's always... In chambers around the country, there's this question of should you be an advocate, should you endorse candidates, should you endorse propositions, like you said you were early on in signing on Prop 123. What's your philosophy on that, about endorsements?
I absolutely think chambers of commerce and business groups should be at the table having these conversations, because laws and regulations are being passed that impact our businesses, impact our families. So we endorse and oppose propositions and initiatives. We do not endorse candidates. Instead, what we do as a chamber is actually we've been leading or running for the past 5 years a Southern Arizona Candidate Academy. So we're reaching out to our members and other folks throughout the community who are interested in running for office, and we host that every February. So that'll be coming up again next year.
You were down in Hermosillo recently?
I was. We host trade mission trips about every 2 to 3 months, and this recent trip to Hermosillo, we take a delegation of members with us, and we toured the Mexico Mining Conference. Mining is a dominant industry for both Arizona and Sonora, and we're looking at how can our member businesses become suppliers to some of these mines. Obviously, it's a depressed industry now with copper pricing being down, but there are a lot of different minerals that are mined throughout Sonora and Arizona, so we were there to learn more.
Well, we're hoping that we'll get some air service, Tucson, into to Guaymas.
Yeah, we're all waiting with bated breath, I think.
I know,
on the
and we have our quarterly Tucson Air Service report tomorrow with the Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, Dick Grunzel, will be with us tomorrow updating us, and hopefully Dick will have some good news about getting this thing started.
I hope so. I think it's coming along, and as soon as that's announced, certainly our chamber members will probably be in the front of the line to sign up and to visit family and tourism and certainly build businesses. I was concerned recently at Sky Harbor of Volaris, or the other large airliner, had stopped their flights from Phoenix to Hermosillo.
Yeah, on the Hermosillo flights from Phoenix.
Understanding that they're going to be looking at some different cities, so it's not gone away, it's just changing.
Yeah, and I know not only do you advocate for candidates, and you also lobby at the legislature, and you had the a procurement initiative right now. Is that still alive?
Yeah, I actually just drove here from our chamber, where we are out really talking at the local, the state, the federal level about how small business can do business with the government. So I left our chairwoman, actually, Cecilia Mata, leading a workshop of some 20 businesses talking about how you get prepared to do business with the government. And that's a major effort of our chamber this year. We're going to have a workshop, and they're free, at our chamber once a month. We're in the process right now of building a procurement portal to help connect our small businesses within the chamber to some of the larger businesses in our strategic partner, the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry. So we've got a lot of plans around procurement.
We have quite a few Hispanic chambers around the country, and I think, was it last year or the year before, you were named your chamber the number one chamber of Hispanic chambers in the country?
We were very proud. There are 200 Hispanic chambers in the country. And
which reflects this changing demographic, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, I think they're fast growing. We were honored to have the president of the United States Hispanic Chamber in Tucson just 2 weeks ago and hosted a breakfast for him with our members. But we were named the National Hispanic Chamber of the Year just a few years ago.
So we've got Thursday, April the 14th, this Thursday, for the State of Hispanic Education. And how do people get more information?
Right. They can give us a call at the chamber. We're at 620-0005. probably the easiest way. Just give us a call and we can get you set up for the luncheon. And for any of our future events, if they're curious about learning more about them, we're at TucsonHispanicChamber.org. Again, you don't have to be Hispanic or a member to attend and kind of just check things out. But we're ultimately about how to grow business here in our Arizona economy.
And I see on your calendar you have the governor's luncheon that's coming up in May with a legislative recap. But things are a little slow right now as far as getting a budget. So whether or not the session will be over, that's who knows.
Yeah, we think it will by May 4th. But what's been exciting, he does his State of the State address at the beginning of the year in January. We're creating, hopefully, a recurring event. This is our second time doing it, where we do a recap of the recent legislative session and talk about what happened, what didn't happen, his priorities, things that occurred in the budget. So that'll be May 4th up at El Conquistador. And that's a luncheon, of course, open to the public.
All right. And again, it is TucsonHispanicChamber.org. ORG. You have a full listing of all the events and information about how people can be a part of the chamber.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Leah. Good
thank
to see
you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Leah Marquez-Peterson with us on the Buckmaster Show. This portion of our program presented by a beautiful area of the southwestern United States, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's only a three-hour drive over there and so many things to do. Great recreation opportunities, historic downtown Silver City. They've really remodeled the downtown, restored some of the old buildings. They've got great restaurants and you can go hiking, too. That's a wonderful thing to do. Just in the Gila National Wilderness, the Gila was America's first national wilderness, and so it's available for you. 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City, southwestnewmexico.org is the website, and great places to stay like Pinos Altos Cabins, to name a few. Check it out. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and cockroaches. You know what I did? Smartest call I ever made in my life. I called my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. I was introduced to a guy named Joey. He'd been my technician for 11 years. A great job. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we like to and encourage people to consult with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman, who is with me in studio. Hello, Shelley.
Bill, how are you today?
Doing very well. And you know, the new year is already kind of come and gone, and one of the resolutions so many people put down on paper or whatever, they say to themselves, I'm going to get my house in order. In other words, I'm going to get my, at least my last wishes through wills and trusts, get all that stuff in order. Well, before you know it, it's the end of the year.
Yeah, you know, as a financial planner, one of the elements of financial planning and a critical element is to make sure that a person's estate is properly documented and will go at their death or the person's death to the people that they want it to go to. And the one element of what I do every day with clients that is the most awkward to talk about and the one element that people most procrastinate about are estate planning documents, wills, trusts, and just as importantly, durable powers of attorney.
What are, in the particular order of importance, what's at the top of the list that everyone should have?
Well, at the top of the list is none of those. At
All
the
right.
top of the list is making sure that the assets that you have are properly owned and properly documented so that when you have a house that you have it in the name of the, named properly so that it's in joint tenant with rights of survivorship or whatever the most appropriate thing is. The other thing is that your bank accounts are properly titled. So that's the first thing. And that doesn't require you to go to a lawyer and you know, get a bunch of documents drawn up. That simply means that you do the job properly as you set those accounts up. So that's very, very important. And for people with modest assets, sometimes that's enough. Next is the question of what happens when I die and what happens if I'm incapacitated and cannot make decisions on my own. So what happens when you die? Well, a will takes care of what happens when you die. A trust can take care of what happens when you die. And it's important to understand that those things accomplish the same ends, but do it a little bit differently. So if you have a will, then your assets are going to be taken care of by the executor that you name in that will. And if any of those assets in the state of Arizona in total accumulate account for more than $50,000, then those assets are going to have to go through a process called probate, which means that before your executor can distribute the assets the way you want that person to do, that there's going to be a court supervising what that executor does. And that court process is a public process so that there's no privacy involved. And probating an estate can take years. So the least expensive way to, in other words, least expensive of those documents is the will. But it's not always the best way to go because after you've passed, then your executor normally has to hire an attorney to go through probate. And so the costs to the estate might be better served if you spend the money up front on a trust and take that whole process away from the courts and make it a process whereby your successor trustee is in charge of disposing of the estate according to your wishes, not under the supervision of the courts, but under the supervision of only the people who might be interested in making sure he or she does it correctly.
What is then a trust?
A trust is a contract that you have with the successor trustee, with the trustee that says, here's my set of desires, and I want you as the trustee, as my trustee, to promise that you will exercise fiduciary responsibility to do exactly what it is I have told you to do. And nobody supervises a trustee. There's no court supervision there. However, there are always interested parties. I had a teacher in high school who used to say, where there's a will, there are relatives. So where there's a trust, there are interested parties, and those are the people who kind of supervise in a way the actions of the trustee to make sure that what is done is what the person who is deceased wanted to have done.
So a trust would be a better vehicle for a lot of people.
For a lot of people, a trust is more expensive to set up. Mm-hmm. It can be more complex and more detailed than a will. And it accomplishes, it really doesn't do what trusts normally were thought to have done, which is take care of some tax problems. Today, with estate taxes, you know, kicking in at over $5 million for an individual, $10 million for a couple. The trust, a simple trust, doesn't really accomplish anything from a tax perspective, but it does assign the proper way for somebody to get the estate disposed of in a way that keeps it out of the public scrutiny and also keeps it out of the courts.
When you say, so a trust would be potentially a little more costly to set up.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, you can get a will online. I don't suggest people do this, but you can do a will online for a couple of $100s. A trust, when you sit down with an estate attorney and you put together a trust, you know, you're going to be spending $2,000, $3,000, or $4,000 to do that, and it's worth every penny. It just is. The other thing with both a will and a trust, you get a package, and included in that package is what's called a durable power of attorney. If you're married or you're in a partnership with somebody, the process is to take care of what might happen if you are not dead. In other words, the will hasn't come into effect, the trust hasn't come into effect, you're still alive, but you're not capable of making financial decisions. And the durable power of attorney gives somebody whom you have appointed the ability to write checks, pay the bills, make sure that the mortgage gets paid, and make sure that your estate, or not estate at that point, but make sure that your financial matters are taken care of. Normally, you would do that with a spouse. You would exchange powers of attorney, and you can set up those powers of attorney such that they are effective immediately upon signing the documents, or you can say the power of attorneys go into effect when a court has determined say, with the advice of two physicians, that I can't make decisions on my own.
Shelley, I've only got about a minute left, but what happens if someone dies without a will or a trust?
Well, they have an estate planner then, and it's called the State of Arizona. And there are some guidelines for how that get in the estate will be disposed in terms of blood relatives. It's not necessarily what you would want, but it is what the state law says. It takes a great deal of time because your death is not a high priority for the people in the state who are then charged with disposing of the estate. Don't let that happen.
All right. Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman, where can we find out more information? And if someone would like to set up a consultation with you, there is no cost for that first
consultation. No cost for the first hour. In fact, I had a couple just yesterday who came to see me who listened to this show, and there's no charge. They were shocked at the end when they said, what do we owe you?
And I said, not a penny. Sit down and talk, right?
Sit down and talk.
It's going to work.
Go to the buckmastershow.com and then hit the link to my website and send me an email, and I get right back to you.
Thank you, Shelley. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you, Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Don't Miss Business event of the season is here. The 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards are May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort at 5:30 p.m. Join us for a celebration of the long history of Better Business Bureau in Southern Arizona as we honor this year's winners for their work in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. This spectacular dinner event is selling fast. Don't delay. Reserve your spot today and register at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This new year opens up a world of possibilities. So how about making your vacation dreams a reality? For more than 40 years, Bon Voyage Travel has advised our clients on virtually every detail of their travel planning. Whether it's a luxury cruise, African safari, romantic beach getaway, or perhaps a journey off the beaten path, we work hard to make the most out of your investment. So all you have to do is just pack your bags. To get started, call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for our quarterly Tucson Air Service Update, plus Tucson Weekly education writer David Safir for his monthly visit to our program. Buckmaster airs live noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We've got live streaming podcasts and our complete show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I want to put a plug in for Green Things. They've got some great roses over there. And hey, it's blooming season. Everything's in bloom, including the cactus. They have a fabulous selection of cacti. Really all of your gardening needs, and their pottery just can't be beat at great prices. The price point on some really sturdy pottery, not going to crumble on you. It's good stuff. 3384 East River Road. Jan and Jack are the owners. Tell them that Bill sent you. They're on 13 acres just west of the intersection Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. We've got an election coming up, Proposition 123. That's the education funding plan that would put about $3.5 billion, with a B, into Arizona schools. Hard to believe. The voting, early voting starts April the 20th, and the special election is May 17th. Dr. Robert Hendricks is with us. Dr. Hendricks, the Associate Professor Emeritus at UA College of Education. He is also the former superintendent of Flowing Wells School District, and he was named Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989. Dr. Hendricks, how are you?
Good to be here, Bill.
Well, this Prop 123, let's go over some of the key points here and some of the pros and cons on this thing. Now, this would disperse more than $3 billion to Arizona schools over the next 10 years.
It would, and you could see where exasperated educators would be very, very excited about the passage of this proposition. I think most people are aware that we're severe underfunded situation in Arizona. I think one thing that even the opponents don't contest is that we are 48th in funding in the state of Arizona, followed only by Utah and Idaho. And in fact, if you don't put the federal funding into the formula, we're actually dead last. We're 50th. And so I guess the question is, how do we get there? And part of what this revolves around as a proposition is that voters approved 301 in the year 2000. And in 2010, the state reneged on their promise to provide automatic inflation adjustments to the educational system.
And why did they do that? They said they needed the money in other places?
That's what they said. That's what they said. Quite simply, they said, we don't have the money to give you, even though it was approved by the voters.
This is right. What we want.
Right. So it's understandable that that some school districts and educational agencies would file a lawsuit, which they did, and they asked for basically the money back from 2009 to 2012, and also part of the money that was given in 2013. And they said, we've been playing catch-up. We need to have this money. The It went to the Maricopa Superior Court, and the judge ruled in the favor of the litigants, and he said reimburse the school districts. The state appealed. And so what it ended up with was these educational agencies ending up at the negotiations table and trying to reach a settlement. Well, settlement was reached, and basically what the state agreed to is that they would give money out of their general fund, which would be about $50 million for 5 years annually, and then another $75 million annually for the next 5 years. And then the other portion is that they would tap into the state land trust, and currently the contribution is about 2.5%. They would increase that to 9.9%. There lies the rub, and it's also the issue on the proposition, and that is permission from the voters to increase the amount taken from the state land trust.
Okay, so if the state land trust was not involved, the legislature just could have said, we're going to compromise, meet with everybody, here's how much we're going to give you out of the general fund.
Right, which is woefully inadequate.
And it wouldn't have even needed to go to the voters. But the only reason it's going to the voters is the state trust fund, that changing that formula, that percentage, has to be approved by the voters.
That's correct. This is essentially, the state has created a bailout for themselves,
right,
by saying, we'll give you part of the money we owe you from the general fund. Mm-hmm. The rest of the money, we're going to have to tap into the state trust funds. And needless to say, there's some opposition to that, because constitutionally, the state trust fund is meant to have a long-lasting impact on funding for the future of Arizona's children. And, you know, to increase that percent is going to, you know, is going to minimize the impact of future generations of children.
And Jeff DeWitt, who announced recently, I think last week, the state treasurer, he is not seeking reelection. He's been kind of the point person in the state against this.
And Billy's right. He's right. That's the conflict with this proposition, is that, yes, I think a settlement is maybe a necessary solution, because if there is no settlement, it goes back to the court system again. And here we have people waiting in our school districts who are losing teachers and are having difficulty recruiting teachers, being told, okay, there's no settlement here. We don't know how much longer it's going to be in the courts. And so they're anxious to settle. But at the same time, critics, you know, have some general concerns too. And one of them is the fact that we're going to be depleting the state trust funds faster than we ought to.
So it's better than nothing is what I think it comes down to for the folks who say yes to this.
Basically, yes. Is it a good deal? I would say it's an okay deal.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, the districts are going to recover 70% of what they should have gotten from the general fund.
70 cents on the dollar,
yeah,
basically.
70 cents on the dollar. Mm-hmm. And that's on the base level funding formula. And then about half back in back pay. And so that's a lot of money to leave on the table. But I think, you know, again, the exasperation of educators is, you know, let's take the deal. It's going to mean immediate money, and it's going to mean over $24 million to just Tucson school districts. And that money is going to be available immediately if this proposition passes.
I have no idea how this is all going to work out, because I don't know, maybe polling's been done, but haven't seen any public polling on how this prop is going to go.
Well, I know there's been mostly talk about the land funds, but I think there's some other cautionary things too. For example, Proposition 301, in which we talked about, which wasn't mm-hmm. enforced, that goes away. Basically, that proposition mandate is taken off the table. So there is no guarantee of future inflationary formulas. Also, there's an arbitrary cap in the legislature that says, you know, you can't spend more than 49% on education. And so we don't know what that's going to mean in the future. Currently, it's at 42%. And so we may be putting ourselves in, you know, a difficult box with that situation. And then the last thing, which I don't hear a lot of people talk about, is that I think when people see these large amounts of money, if it does pass, they're going to say, well, school districts now have a whole lot of money.
Oh, yeah, they're rich with money. That's
We don't need to pass any more
bond issues. I just voted to give you more money. What are you talking about? Why do we, you know? Yeah, you could see
and
that.
And guess
happen.
What? The projection is we're going to move from 48th to 45th.
Oh.
With the passage of the proposition.
All right.
So it's no silver bullet. But it's something, and okay. It's better than nothing. So I say vote yes.
All right, Dr. Robert Hendricks, we will hear from you in early May, and then hope you have a safe trip. You're headed over to Hong Kong. Be safe. Okay.
Okay, thanks,
Thank
Bill.
You very much.
Okay.
We'll be right back with our arts report presented by Fox Tucson Theater.
What is it, boy? You want to go where? To the Humane Society's Putting on the Dog? It is the best event in Tucson. You're right. We should go.
Get your tickets to Tucson's best pet event, Putting on the Dog, Friday, May 6th from 6 to 9 at the Tucson Hilton El Conquistador. Food by Tucson Originals, live and silent auctions, great entertainment, and more. Tickets at hssaz.org/POD. All proceeds benefit the Humane Society of Southern Arizona.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by the Crown Jewel of Downtown, Fox Tucson Theater, Saturday, April 16th. The Fox welcoming Richard Marx, producer, songwriter, performer Richard Marx, and his solo acoustic tour. Coming to the Fox on April 24th, Sunday, it is the legendary singer, songwriter, and Grammy Award winner Graham Nash. That's going to be a great show. In this tour, Mr. Nash should be joined by guitarist and producer Shane Fontaine, who produced Graham Nash's newly released album, This Path Tonight. To view the full Fox Theater schedule, viewer membership, and to purchase tickets to see Richard Marx, his solo acoustic tour on Saturday, April 16th, and then an evening with Graham Nash, Sunday, April 24th. Visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now to our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report, Margaret Regan. Margaret has been writing for the Tucson Weekly for a long time, and she's also the author of two very popular books. Her latest book, Detained and Deported. Margaret, how are you, and how is your trip to San Miguel de Allende? I know that I've heard that that's a beautiful place north of Mexico City.
Yeah, that's right. It's one of those beautiful old colonial towns in Mexico. They were, there was mining there back in the earliest days, tin and copper mining, I think. And mm-hmm. So the Spanish built these beautiful, beautiful cities with churches and government buildings. I mean, you walk through that town and you feel like you're in Renaissance Italy. It's so mind-altering. But I was invited down there to speak about my new book, Detained and Deported. There are a lot of Americans down there, a lot of expats, you know, sort of artistic types and retirees. So I've been invited a couple of times to speak about my work down there.
Yeah, don't they have a really nice and well-known kind of English language bookstore in San Miguel?
Well, I'm afraid it doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, no.
Because I thought there was, too.
Yeah.
And unless I'm mistaken, I was asking around, and I tried to find it, and I failed. So, because my friend Tom Miller had told me I had to go there. It
yeah.
was the best bookstore in San Miguel. Everybody there who had read my book had bought it on Amazon. I'm sorry to say.
Oh, that says something about how difficult it is to run a bookstore these days. This afternoon, after our interview, you'll be headed to Eloy, Arizona.
Giving
a talk. That's interesting because the Eloy Detention Center for immigrants is a big part of the book.
I know. So that should be quite interesting for me. And perhaps I'll meet some people who work at the Eloy Detention Center. You know, a lot of these prisons in general and for-profit prisons in particular, they like to locate in small towns because there are usually not very many jobs for people. And so they're able to get a lot of locals working in them. So it'd be interesting for me if I could meet some employees of the Eloy Detention Center because, as you may know, I'm rather critical of it in my book, so I'd be interested to hear what they have to say.
This weekend, the Borderlands Theater has a play about the border, correct?
Yeah. Now, I'm not writing about it. You know, Sherilyn Forrester is the theater reviewer for The Weekly, and she tells me this is a very important play. It's called The Ghosts of Lote Bravo. It's about those murders of women in Juarez, which I feel like we don't hear as much about them as we once did. You know, Juarez is a big and has been a very dangerous city on the border, although they say it's better now, on the, you know, opposite El Paso. But for a few years there, we were hearing a lot about the murders of these young women who came up there to work in the maquiladoras, you know, isolated mm-hmm. from their home communities and unprotected. And lots of murders. So Borderlands Theater is doing a play by kind of a big-time playwright, Hilary Bettis, and it's premiering here in Tucson this Saturday night.
Where is that going to be?
It's going to be at the Cabaret Theater in the Temple of Music and Art. You can see previews Thursday and Friday, but Saturday night, you know, Borderlands always does a big gala fiesta on their opening night. That's a good night to go to see it, and they have wonderful food afterwards and conversation.
What's going on at Etherton Gallery?
Well, wonderful show. I wrote about it for this upcoming issue of the Tucson Weekly. It's called Sightlines, and it's kind of about the history of photography and the future of photography. Three photographers with Arizona roots. One of them, Jody Forster, does these big, beautiful, sort of classic Western landscapes in black and white, you know, chiseled images, big cloud formations. As a young man, he studied with Ansel Adams, so that gives you an idea of his subject matter and, you know, the craft of what he does. So he sort of represents that amazing landscape tradition we have in Western photography. Then we have Dick Arends, who is a professor for many years at NAU. He always did platinum photography, which is a 19th century process, which is really complicated. You have to coat your papers, but it creates beautiful shimmering surfaces. And very recently, Arends, he's like the avatar of platinum photography. He switched to digital.
Really?
Like so many people nowadays. But he's using these amazing inks for printing. You know, he's using an inkjet printer like everybody else doing digital photography. So of interest with him, he's moved on to this new technology of digital, but he's still getting the very fine tonal effects. He has some beautiful photos of rural Scotland. His whole thing is rural Scotland. But the big surprise is the young guy in the group, Daniel Livick, and he's a student of Mark Klett, who's a photographer up at ASU, who has trained many people in this younger generation of photographers. This guy, Livick, he abandons the camera altogether. He goes to Google Earth online, you know, and appropriates images of the Western landscape from Google Earth, you know, shot from high above. And he makes them into digital collages and prints them out as these kind of fantasy landscapes of the future.
Huh.
A little hard to understand until you see them, but they're not real places because he's taken bits and pieces of places from many different sites on Google Earth and stitched them together, as Terry Etherton called it.
Very innovative.
Yeah. So now we have a photography without a camera and without film, and we're just using the computer and what we can appropriate from that. And it has kind of an environmental aspect to it, too.
And then you have yours truly talking as the probably the last person in the world that still uses film. I still like the look of it.
Well, it's harder to get, though, isn't it?
It is. You can still get, you can buy film at, you know, all of the CVS or Walgreens. But getting it processed, yeah, you've got Jones Photo here in town for one that does a real good job with it. So, you know, there are a few of us still shooting film.
Well, you know, one thing that's happening in photography schools is that a lot of young photographers take to these old processes,
too,
because for them it's fascinating and new and different. They've never used it before. But Terry Etherton tells me he's gotten a lot of older people in camera clubs coming to see Jody Forster's photos and oohing and aahing over how amazing they are and the effects he's getting with his old-fashioned film.
Well, that sounds like a great show. That show is Sightlines, New Developments in Landscape Photography. That's going to be up through June 14th.
Yeah, quite a while.
At Etherton. And just about out of time, but you've also had an interesting piece at Davis Dominguez. That's in the March 31st issue of Tucson Weekly.
Yeah, that's right. That was an interesting show, too. Also, three different artists, very different. It's fun when galleries do that. And the one that I was kind of taken with is this a collagist, I guess you'd call him, David Pennington. Mm-hmm. He makes these very beautiful collages out of his own drawings and out of works from art history, prints them out. Everybody prints things out now, right, on an inkjet printer, I believe, and then makes these kind of cartoons about modern life. And the one I focused on, he was really teasing us about the Best of Tucson and the Tucson Weekly. It's an existential comic strip, and this two retro young people that he got from like a 50s cartoon are agonizing over their votes for tortilla soup or strawberry tart, you know.
Oh, boy.
And then he's got like a picture from the Renaissance of somebody stabbing somebody else in the chest, and it's really about the meaningless of life, and, you know.
There you go. Margaret Regan, we'll let you go and get up to Eloy, to the library, Santa Cruz Library in Eloy, where you'll be this afternoon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
This week's Arts Report on Buckmaster, sponsored by the Crown Jewel of Downtown, Fox Tucson Theater, coming up Saturday. Fox welcoming Richard Marx, producer, songwriter, performer Richard Marx, then an evening with Graham Nash. Sunday, April 24th, the legendary singer, songwriter, Grammy Award winner, guitarist and producer Shane Fontaine will be with him. Mr. Fontaine produced Mr. Nash's newly released album, This Path Tonight. To get tickets for Richard Marx's solo acoustic tour this Saturday, April 16th, and an evening with Graham Nash on Sunday, April 24th, we urge you to visit foxtucson.com. Thank you to the Fox for their support of the Buckmaster Show. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4, my friend Ray Allen will be here, and also my friend Mike Shaw will be seated where I am seated as the host for that show. Then 3 hours of local talk getting started at 6 with Wake Up Tucson, the Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with Ray Allen, Wednesday midweek edition of Buckmaster. Until then, Ray and I hope you have a great afternoon and evening.